Kaya Biz. Legally speaking on Kaya Biz.
Time to talk all things legally speaking and legal matters this time around. And tonight we focus on an interesting topic that will most likely also be reflected on Point of View. And we've heard some feedback on this regarding Point of View, the show that comes up after 8 o'clock here on Kaya 959. And that is the publication of the matric results. What is the legal position under the POPI Act? To help us unpack this further, especially in light of the fact that some matriculants have already received their results and others are anticipating those details to be released tomorrow. We join on the line by Nadine Matha, Senior Associate at Bowmans. Nadine, thank you for your time and welcome to the show.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
Fantastic. I think first things first, Nadine, help us understand the context of the POPI Act and, of course, how this then interplays with the concerns that were raised regarding the matric results.
Sure. So when we refer to POPIA, we're talking about your Protection of Personal Information Act. And this act recently came into force in July last year. Now, the act really is put in place to protect and uphold our constitutional right to privacy. And it does that by regulating the processing of personal information. Mm-hmm. Now, how this came into play with the department's decision last week to not publish the matric results on media platforms, it was on the basis that they were concerned that such publication may breach the provisions of POPIA.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense, but I guess under which particular concerns? Is it the ID number? Is it the name? And I guess that's where we as laymen have been left confused as to what areas or aspects of the personal information are we looking to protect?
That is the question, and that really then impacts on the interpretation of POPIA and whether it actually applies to the publication of matric results. Now, there has been a misconception about what constitutes personal information. Personal information under POPIA is widely defined. It includes your learner's names, it includes their educational history, but importantly, it also includes any information that identifies the learner, and that can include, their identity number, but also the examination number. Mm-hmm. That they are given. Now, since already as far back as 2014, learners' sort of names and surnames were removed from the publication of matric results in an effort to protect their identity, and it was only your exam numbers that were published together with your results. So this is the sort of debate under POPIA as to whether that, first of all, constitutes personal information, which it does, but whether POPIA applies now to the publication of that information. And for purposes of POPIA does regulate processing of all personal information, but it does include certain exceptions. And the one at issue here is where personal information has been sort of sufficiently de-identified to the extent that it cannot be re-identified and you cannot identify the learner from the information, POPIA will not apply. So, for example, if the school advises that, 98% of their pupils pass matric, and that is the information you have, it will almost be impossible to figure out as, a person of the public, which students are involved in the 2% that failed. Mm. So there have been debates as to whether it's de-identified or not. Some have argued, well, you cannot identify a student's, student's name or who they are by using their exam number, so therefore it is de-identified. However, there have been sort of reports and feedback from students that it's not necessarily de-identified. The department will be able to identify you, the schools will be able to identify who the learner is behind the exam number, and some students have sort of said the sitting plans at exams align with where your exam number is. So you could actually be able to identify which of your peers passed matric and which haven't. So that is the ongoing debate. Is it de-identified? Is it not? And this is really where POPIA came into play.
And that's an interesting part that you mentioned there as well. Who can actually identify this information? One would actually have assumed initially that this is just related to the broader public. And because I can't tell the examination numbers from the IDs or who it belongs to, then that would actually make it okay for it to be published.
Exactly. And that is the argument. And arguably, we would let you, myself, anyone in the larger public that's not associated with the school or has, sort of a child that's in the matric would make it, it would be very difficult for us to take an exam number and link it back to the learner. And that, I suppose, is the argument that, let's publish it. It's in the public interest, or specifically the interest of learners to access the results timelessly via media print and arguably a lot of people would not be able to identify that information. But the question as to whether it is actually de-identified is yet to be answered, because, as I said, there are instances where certain people may be able to identify that information.
So where does it leave us now in terms of the publication of these matric results in the, today and tomorrow, I guess, for public schools?
So, as you may be aware, there was, following the department's decision, a sort of challenge to it brought by a current matric learner, Annelies Beats, together with AfriForm, and that was brought on an urgent basis in our Pretoria High Court. Now, that judgment was sort of handed down yesterday that said and ordered the department to actually publish the results in the media. Now, the department didn't oppose that decision, and they didn't oppose it on the basis that they actually, you know, were looking forward to the court's guidance as to how to deal with this issue. The unfortunate issue of not opposing it is that the court didn't properly have facts before it to consider the interpretation of POPIA. So what they did consider was the arguments that this learner would not get their results timelessly, and it may impact learners in, you know, sort of modest areas that don't have access or cannot, you know, go back to their schools to get their results, how are they going to get their results? And on that basis, the judge ordered that the results be published. But unfortunately, we didn't get much guidance on the provisions of POPIA and what was the correct interpretation of POPIA in these circumstances. Mm-hmm. So that debate, I think, is still ongoing. But as I said, if POPIA, you know, if it is de-identified, POPIA doesn't apply and they can publish it. If it's not sufficiently de-identified, then we really are in the realm of POPIA, and there's certain conditions that the department would have to comply with in making that information available.
Yeah, we certainly have a lot more to expand on this conversation, and we're keen to get our listeners into action too. So if you have any questions around the POPIA Act, some concerns as well regarding the POPIA Act, how it does apply to you, and I guess unpacking the learnings that we need to take away from this environment, do dial in 086-000-959 or send us a tweet at Kaya On Air and use the hashtag KayaBiz. What I'm also keen to discuss further with our guest this evening, Nadine Mather, who is a senior associate at Bowman's, helping us unpack this conversation. And Nadine, we've really focused on a lot. But what I'm also keen to understand, as you said, is the processing and understanding of POPIA, or processing of personal information under POPIA. And it seems as though, as you said, there's still a lot of grey areas that we need to work through here. Are there specific learnings from this matric results release example that we can learn from and implement going forward, just to clear the muddied waters?
So yes, I mean, it's certainly a grey area. You know, as I mentioned, the POPIA Act is fairly new. It's just come into force, and it's really going to be subject to interpretation and challenges going forward. But there are a lot of learnings we can take, and there's been debate about, as I said, the application of POPIA. In these instances, you know, assuming POPIA does apply, there's concern in relation to the information of children. There's a number of learners who are matriculants who may still be 17 years old and have not yet reached 18 years old. And when you're dealing with children's information under POPIA, it's subject to additional protections, and you would arguably need their parents' consent to publish the information. Interestingly, just on that point, as you mentioned, the IEB matric results were published today, and there was a lot of good news for a number of learners that achieved well in their exams, which resulted in media houses publishing the photograph and information about your top achievers. Now, under POPIA, that information is actually regarded as special personal information, your photograph, because you can tell someone's race from it. You can tell, you may be able to tell certain information relating to the children's health. And when you're dealing with this, you actually need the consent of the parent, if it's a child, or the consent of the learner to publish their photograph. So it would be interesting to know whether, you know, your media houses did give such consent to publish such photographs. But arguably, those learners that have achieved, that have done well, you know, would like the information to be published and would like to be acknowledged.
Sure. So how do we strike a balance then? I'm just imagining in future where certain students do want to be celebrated and acknowledged, and others perhaps to have their privacy maintained regardless of the accolades of a pass or fail. Do you almost need to, I guess, receive consent? And if that is the model that we're going to have to follow, that sounds quite extensive.
So that is a really good question, because as I mentioned here, and I specifically gave an example of sort of children's information. Yes. Now, children's information is regarded as sort of inherently, you know, needs to be protected, and they are subject to special rules under COPIA, mainly being that if you want to post this children's information, you're likely to require a guardian's consent, or there would need to be an obligation imposed on you by law. However, importantly, and what's very important for our listeners to understand, is that there's been this misconception in respect of all individuals above the age of 18 that you need the consent to process information. This argument that you need my permission to use my information, and that is just simply not true. COPIA is not a consent-based piece of legislation. Mm-hmm. There are a number of grounds on which you can process someone's information. This includes with their consent, but you can process someone's information if it's necessary to comply with an obligation in law. For example, you attend the shops these days, they take your temperature, being your temperature for COVID-19 purposes. That temperature is your personal information, but they're doing so because they have a legal obligation under your National Disaster Act or your regulation to take those temperatures. And other grounds may include where it's in the legitimate interest of the body to do so, when it's in the data subject's legitimate interest. And that's one of the arguments here. It was in the legitimate interest of the matriculant to publish their results in the newspaper so that they can get their results timely. And there, they wouldn't need your consent if you're above the age of 18. So there certainly are a number of grounds in which you can process information. And this goes back to the fact that, yes, you have a right to privacy, but that right is not absolute and can be limited in various circumstances.
Yeah. And that's an important factor for us to also bear in mind, because so often as consumers, and I know of friends and colleagues and even myself, where people have actually, you know, responded to calls that we might receive over the phone, and you're like, hold on, you actually have no right to contact me. And we're well aware that, as you say, your right to privacy is not absolute. In certain conditions, you do need to share that information where it is proven to be pertinent to do so. Healthcare, in terms of the COVID-19 regulations, certainly understandable. Maybe not selling me some kind of insurance that is unsolicited. That would be a different circumstance. But Nadine, I'm also keen to understand what the implications here are for the media, whether it be the press, us, ourselves, in terms of finding that balance of, managing the role and responsibility of abiding by the POPIA rules and guidelines, but at the same time, exercising that right of flexibility to acknowledge, celebrate and report on some of these young and top achievers in matric.
So, yes, I mean, again, very good question. And the media is a specific, unique issue because, of course, they are giving us news that the public has a right to know about. Now, POPIA, as I said, does apply to all organizations. It will include media houses, and they will need to comply with POPIA. But one of the exclusions under POPIA is where the processing of personal information is for purposes of journalistic or artistic expression. Now, that specifically talks to our media houses. And what it requires, though, is that you need to be able to reconcile, sort of as a matter of public interest, the right to privacy with the right to freedom of expression. And you have just said it. It really is a balancing act. So media houses do have an exclusion to process personal information for journalistic purposes, but they are still required then to ensure that adequate safeguards for the protection of the personal information are in place. And that may relate to, for example, only publishing the personal information that is strictly necessary to achieve the purpose for which you are reporting, or ensuring that the information you are, the personal information you are reporting on is correct. So there is a balancing act taking into account the public interest in allowing for the free flow of information to the public through the media, and also the importance of safeguarding someone's personal information.
Very true. I'm intrigued as well as to how we go forward with this then, Nadine, and not just within the space and the realm of children and education, but I guess the full implementation of the POPIA overall. Have we seen that companies are abiding by rules, alerting individuals to ask for their consent where necessary and where it does apply? And I guess in sensitive areas such as the nature of schooling, as we've witnessed, how do we ensure that we minimize the grey areas regarding the processing of the POPIA Act?
Well, this is a very exciting time because it is new legislation, and there certainly have been a number of organizations that have really put an effort and taken steps to understand what the Act provides and to comply with their obligations under the Act. And that includes, you know, establishing privacy notices, informing people of when they have your personal data, how they're collecting it, and ensuring that they're safeguarding your information. They have the necessary security measures in place to prevent data breaches. So there has been a great uptake for a number of companies. Yes, there are a number of companies that may not have yet taken full steps to comply. But given that it is a new piece of legislation, we are certainly going to see questions come to the fore that aren't clear, that are going to need complex legal interpretation and clarity from our courts. But the Act has certainly been welcomed by a lot of South Africans. It was long overdue compared to other jurisdictions globally in relation to the protection of personal information. So it has been welcomed by a number of South Africans, and really now is the time for people to understand exactly what the Act says, what it provides for organizations to comply with the Act, but also for us as individuals to understand that we have rights under the Act. You know, we have the right to have our personal information processed lawfully. And if it's not processed lawfully, the right to complain, the right to submit a complaint to the information regulator.
And those are things we actually don't know.
So it's important to just become aware of what the legislation provides. And then, as you mentioned, it may in certain circumstances seem burdensome. Is it burdensome to get the children's, the parents' consent to publish children's information? Yes, certainly at the 48th hour, it may be burdensome. But once you understand the Act and you start putting processes in place, the department gets consents of matriculants at the beginning of a matric year to use the information, to publish it, to ensure they get matric results. It really can become something that can quite easily be complied with. But as I said, there will always be grey areas because it's always, you know, legislation leaves room for interpretation.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we continue to learn these lessons. And as you say, it's an exciting time. I can imagine how it's stretched the minds of your legal professionals like yourselves, as well as your team members. And of course, us as South African citizens to ask the right questions, to raise our concerns and to complain where we do complain, and to also share our perspective on some of these critical areas. Nadine, thank you so much for your time this evening. Really do appreciate it. And looking forward to the ongoing updates that we'll receive regarding the implementation and the rollout of processing, really, of Papia, and even lessons that we might learn from this release of matric results, and how this might influence the years ahead. Thank you so much for your time again, Nadine.
Thank you very much.
Indeed, that's Nadine Mather. She's a senior associate at Bowman's, helping us unpack the processing of the Papia Act, what the legal position is, especially in light of the publication of the matric results.
Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfuphi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
On the streets, on the air.